And a warm welcome now to our next guest, Linda Yu, fellow in economics at St. Edmund Hall, Oxford University, and adjunct professor at London Business School. Professor Yu, welcome back to the Business Briefing and happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Janice. Great to be here.
Professor Yu, so in the news of late is the fact that the U.S. has suspended its technology prosperity deal with the U.K. First, tell us what this deal is and why it was suspended.
Yeah, so this was the deal that was announced when President Trump visited the U.K. for a state visit. He had the occasion to meet not just with the Prime Minister of the UK, but also the King and the Queen. So it was quite a big deal. On this occasion, the UK and the US announced a technology prosperity deal. And this was really quite important because it was intended to allow the US and the UK to cooperate on AI. A number of investments were announced on the back of it. But the deal itself went deeper because what it was aiming for was for the UK and the US to jointly develop governance standards for AI, for technology, because right now there's no global standard. And so it is quite, it's quite fragmented, basically. But it has now been suspended, and it looks like, and this is quite a pattern which we see in other deals, even though what I just described is a technology partnership deal, it looks like some of the reasons why it's now been suspended is because the Trump administration actually wants the UK to concede in other areas. So, for instance, trade. The US wants greater access to British markets, and particularly around food, industrial goods. So this is not a part of the tech deal. These other concessions are supposed to be part of the trade deal that was announced when the UK was the first to secure a trade agreement with the US after Liberation Day in April. But increasingly, these deals and these lines are just, they're not as clear as maybe some of the British officials thought they might be.
So, you know, let's talk about AI standards, because that's a big thing that's at issue here. What do you see? Professor Yu, are you there?
Yes, I can. You just cut out for a minute, but I think I heard you. The standards of AI and and what these key issues the partnership could address. So I think one of the key things about AI that the partnership hopefully would have addressed, because obviously it's been suspended, we don't really know, is the UK was the first to set up an AI safety summit, and they worked with the previous administration to talk about setting global standards for AI. So the way they do that is that they listen to private firms, they invite other countries along. So in other words, you try to coordinate as much as possible because AI and technology do not respect national borders. But one of the main areas that's emerged with Gen AI is we need to look more closely at AI ethics. So not just the safety issue, but actually what goes into the black box that is Gen AI. So we know what comes out of it, you know, recommendations for great Italian restaurants with outdoor seating or, you know, whatever it is. But we don't actually know what goes into the coding for these various Gen AI like ChatGPT or Claude or Perplexity. So if you focus on AI ethics, it's going to, that's an area where some governance about how you code would be quite important. So there is a lot of focus, and there still is, on AI safety, and I think in part stimulated by this UK conference I mentioned a little while ago. But it's actually the AI ethics part that probably needs a bit more attention. But just to mention, AI safety, of course, is important because it's essential. So there, a lot of books are written about this, and I just saw one on a bookshelf. It's a New York Times bestseller. It's called If Anyone Builds It, Everyone Dies, The Case Against Superintelligent AI. And this is not a new concept. I'll just give you the very brief version. If you tell AI to make paper clips, but you don't you're not very clear on how AI could eventually turn the whole world into paperclips. And that might be a world no humans at that point. So that's an AI safety issue.
Oh, world of paperclips. We're speaking with Professor Linda Yu. She's a fellow in economics at St. Edmund Hall, Oxford University, and adjunct professor at London Business School. And we're talking about how to stop the AI paperclip calamity that could befall humanity. I wanted to switch gears. I wanted to talk about a related tech issue that you wanted to discuss. And that's a new way that you've highlighted how cyber criminals are infiltrating companies. Talk to us about this.
Yeah, so we just talked about AI, you know, and all the things that AI could do and all the safety. So apparently, the new way that cyber criminals are infiltrating companies does use AI, but it's also quite human. So this is pretty extraordinary. So North Korean state-sponsored hackers are interviewing for working-from-home jobs, and they use AI to create fake profiles, working documents. You don't even know who you're interviewing. They can route it so it doesn't look like they're in North Korea. So in other words, instead of hacking a company from the outside, cyber criminals are now getting employed by firms as working from home tech workers.
It's incredible.
And that's actually, that's how they're hacking it from the inside. I just thought that was such an amazing development and really quite worrying.
But so how successful have they been to date? Do we have any information, any data on have they had any success? I mean, how concerning is this?
It's a really good question. I imagine it's one of those things where it's probably a lot more than what's been detected. But the reason why these cases have come to light is that firms eventually worked out they were being hacked from the inside. So they started looking at their staff and their reported cases were like, hang on, you are not Joe Blog. You are a hacker based in North Korea. And that's how some of these stories are beginning to come out. So I don't know. Every company might need to take a look at their roster of tech workers who only work from home.
So how do companies protect against this, right? I mean, how do you identify North Korean hackers who are interviewing at your company? How do you know who they are?
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure there's really any way to do it. I think you can be extremely diligent, but deep fakes are so convincing these days. You only need a sample of somebody's voice for 10 seconds, and you can recreate almost an entire vocabulary based on that. And of course, we know images are also very compelling. So I think it is actually very hard. And that's about impersonation. So you've actually hired a North Korean, but you don't know the North Korean. You thought they were South Korean or from somewhere else. I think you probably just need to, you know, use AI to check credentials even more carefully. But I think the bigger point is that it is increasingly hard, and cyber attacks have famously taken out a number of big companies in the UK, just to give an example. So Jaguar Land Rover, the car company, M&S, which is a food company, as well as the Co-op, which is a supermarket, they were hacked. And the hack was so severe, it resulted in them shutting down their IT systems, you know, for a few months. And I know in the case of the supermarkets, they had to go around to all their supermarkets and start to collect paper invoices just so they can work out what was happening in the company. So it's increasingly hard to guard against cyber attacks. And I suppose a couple of, you know, learnings from that. So one is you have to build a redundancies into your IT system. If you've discovered you're hacked, there has to be some way of closing down, and this is very hard because your assumption is that your entire system has been hacked. But can you close down bits of the system, build in redundancies, so you don't have to go around to all the supermarkets collecting pieces of paper? And then the other tip around deepfake is, and this is just, this is just kind of like phishing, but, you know, in 3D, which is if you do see your CEO on a, you know, on a call asking you to make an urgent transfer. You may want to think about a safe word in your company to check it's really the CEO, you know, just a word that there's no way the hackers could find out. So, you know, so you can say, but what is the company's safe word? And if the hacker is unlikely to know it. Of course, unless you put the company's safe word stored in the cloud, in which case...
Right. Too. What's fascinating about this is that what's old tech is new tech again in the world of AI, right? In terms of AI security, it's a fascinating state of affairs. Professor Yu, happy holidays. Thank you again for joining us today. Please tell us where we can follow you in your work.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure. You can find me... LindaYu.com, that's LindaYue.com. And my handle is at LindaYu on social media. And happy holidays to you, Janet, and to all of your listeners.
Thank you so much.